NPR.
Hey everyone, Cardiff and Stacey here, and this is The Indicator from Planet Money.
If we had to pick exactly one economic indicator right now that best shows how the U.S. economy has come to a sudden stop, that indicator would be unemployment insurance initial claims. That's a bit of a mouthful, so we are just going to call it jobless claims.
And jobless claims are exactly what they sound like. When people lose their jobs, they can file a claim with their state government to start receiving unemployment insurance money, unemployment checks. So if jobless claims are climbing by a lot, it means a lot of people are losing their jobs.
This indicator comes out once a week, every Thursday, and the number of jobless claims filed throughout the country last week was released just this morning by the Department of Labor. And it was so hard to grasp that we called an old friend of the show's to walk us through it.
My name is Martha Gimple. I'm the manager of economic research at Schmidt Futures.
So back in the first week of March, just earlier this month, jobless claims were still very low by historical standards. Roughly 210,000 people per week were filing for unemployment after having just lost their jobs. That's really, really low. The labor market back then was excellent, Martha says.
If you think about the conversations we were having 3 weeks ago, it was longest expansion on record, steady growth, people coming back into the labor force.
Oh, what a difference a week can make. Businesses very quickly started feeling the economic effects of the coronavirus pandemic. And in the second week of March, jobless claims shot up by 33%. Martha says that was a massive, massive one-week increase.
So the only time that we've ever seen numbers like that previously is when there's been some kind of natural disaster, like a hurricane. The difference is that usually after a hurricane, when you see a big jump in unemployment insurance claims, you expect it to come down the next week.
Instead, what we found out this morning is that in the third week of March, that's last week, 3.3 million people filed for unemployment insurance benefits. That is a record high number for a single week. It represents an increase of more than 1,000% from the previous week, also a record.
About a year and a half of jobs growth in the economy was just obliterated in 1 week. It is almost certain that the economy is already in a recession, even if it's not official yet. And Martha says, for people who follow the economy, this jobless claims number is just unlike anything they've ever seen.
I mean, you look at this number and you almost, it's so overwhelming, you almost feel numb, right? I mean, more than 3 million people filing for unemployment insurance in a single week is truly almost incomprehensibly horribly sad.
Plus, Martha says, we also have no way of knowing yet what happens next.
The biggest question now is, what happens after this week? Do we see the same number next week? Does it accelerate? Does it start slowing down? And it's actually incredibly important to remember that unemployment insurance claims are usually an undercount of the number of people who've lost their jobs or lost income in some way, because not everyone qualifies.
For example, people who are self-employed or contractors, gig workers, do not qualify. And a lot of people have struggled to file for unemployment because their state systems have been so overwhelmed. I mean, the websites in many cases have just crashed because so many people are trying to file at the same time. So their claims might not show up in the data until later. So as Martha explained, the jobless claims number is actually underestimating how brutal things are in the labor market right now.
And this incredible jump in the number of people filing for unemployment shows not just a sudden economic collapse in the U.S., but also the very strange way that the coronavirus pandemic is affecting the economy and affecting economic policy.
Yeah, because the strategy policymakers are using to fight the pandemic is to severely reduce contact between people so that the virus stops spreading. As everybody knows by now, that's social distancing. And it has meant forcing people not to work if they have jobs that require a lot of interaction with other people. Not just people who work in stores, in bars and restaurants, in hotels, in the travel industry, but also for any kind of other business that has been shuttered.
This strategy is very different from the one that policymakers use to fight a normal recession, when they try to get people back to work as soon as possible. Instead, what policymakers are trying to do now is to deliberately stop a lot of people from working while the public health crisis lasts, and eventually to immediately get them back to work when the crisis is over.
It's a tricky strategy to get right. But unemployment insurance, the money that people get after they file their jobless claims, is an important part of that strategy. It's a safety net, Martha says.
And normally in economic policy, when people talk about the social safety net, people really worry about whether or not providing benefits discourages people from working. And there's an extensive literature on that, and that's a whole separate conversation. We want benefits to discourage people from working. We don't want people going to restaurants and trying to work right now. We want them staying home and safe. And one way to do that is to make sure that they can get the benefits that they need through the unemployment insurance system.
And that is partly why the economic stimulus package that was just passed by the Senate yesterday included a temporary increase in the amount of money that workers will get when they file for unemployment insurance. It gives workers more money now that they're laid off. But then those extra benefits end later, by which point we all hope the crisis will be over. More details after this break.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Fundrise, changing the way people invest in real estate, making it simple and affordable for people to build a portfolio of high-quality real estate. Visit fundrise.com/indicator to get your first 6 months of advisory fees waived. Support also comes from Washington Wise Investor, an original podcast from Charles Schwab that explores how decisions made in Washington could impact your finances and portfolio. Listen at schwab.com/WashingtonWise.
Roughly the way that the unemployment insurance system works is that both the federal government and, separately, state governments charge businesses a tax to jointly cover the costs of providing the benefits. But as economist Martha Gimbel says, state governments were underfunded to cover a situation like the one we are in now.
I don't think any state is prepared for a situation where there are millions and millions and millions of claims that are ongoing.
Plus, state governments do not have the ability to raise huge amounts of money quickly. The federal government does. It can borrow enormous sums of money by selling treasury bonds.
And the federal government is now stepping in. In the new aid and stimulus package that was passed by the Senate and is expected to be passed into law soon, the government is directing an estimated $260 billion to expand unemployment insurance. Among other things, that money will go towards paying jobless workers an extra $600 a week in addition to what they are already expecting to get from unemployment. But that extra amount will only last for 4 months.
Plus, the stimulus package sets aside money to allow workers to keep receiving unemployment benefits for 13 weeks longer than each state allows, which is usually about half a year. This will help people who are nearing the end of their benefits, who might find it really hard to get a job right now.
The bill also temporarily loosens some of the restrictions on who can qualify for unemployment insurance. For example, people who are independent contractors rather than employees will soon be eligible for unemployment once the bill passes. And state governments themselves had also been loosening up some of their own criteria for who can qualify.
And the goal of all these measures is the same: to offer more support to people who lose their jobs while the coronavirus pandemic is forcing them to stay home. And then to hope, with no guarantees whatsoever, that their jobs will be waiting for them once the pandemic is over.
And one way of looking at what's happening is that those of us who can keep our jobs during this crisis are asking others to sacrifice their jobs for the sake of everybody's health. And that is just a hell of a lot to ask. Martha says it's also why it makes sense to expand the safety net that they have during this time.
We know that experiencing unemployment is a devastating experience for people, not only financially, but also emotionally. A lot of people get a lot of value and self-worth from going to work day to day. They may feel like they've failed by not being able to provide for their families. And this is a situation where it is truly no one's fault that they've lost their job right now. And so we should make sure that they are able to provide for the people in their lives.
If you're looking for more news about coronavirus, NPR has a new daily podcast for just that. It's called Coronavirus Daily, with new episodes every weekday in the late afternoon.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Camille Peterson. It was edited by Patty Hirsch. Our fact checker is Brittany Cronin, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.